Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, it's the Sideship Podcast with me, Peter Fickling, and Kerry Warbis. We are without Matthew Weir this week. Kerry already knows that, but Kerry, you told me we've got an audio message from him.
We do, yeah. He left a WhatsApp audio from Porto Airport.
Yeah, he's got the he's in between smug photos and videos of him gallivanting around his coastal idyll. He also likes to keep us up to date, you know, even when he's lounging around an airport. So let's hear this.
All right, you two. So I'm sat in Porto Airport now, just waiting for my flight to Barcelona. I've gone up as far as Thursday's episode. God, I don't know. Good luck with this one, guys, really. Helen, absolutely odious. Just passive-aggressive, horrific tantrum at the beginning of the week, and then she decides to kind of play the moral concession card at the end. It's like, well, you caused this entire situation yourself, and nobody gave a shit about it, not even your own kids, who you were projecting your neuroses onto without actually even asking them in the first place. The Ruby storyline, showing Justin's his emotional side, also his fallibility with the cross-country course, isn't it? Because he'd kind of turned it into some Hunger Games style spiked trenches and razor wire. I think it would have been better if they'd have left it like that. Disappointing, but yeah, also showing that he realised he'd cocked up there. Biggest disappointment of the week, biggest shock of the week. Not at all surprised that Oliver reads The Spectator, but I am disgusted that Jim nips into it. Unless he's drawing cocks on all the Tory twats in it, then I'm down with it. Other than that, good luck this week, guys. Good luck.
Oh, Kerry, he's done it for us. Is there any need to do a podcast?
Well, I think so, because I disagree with some of what he said.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have an advert, and then you can tell Matthew why it's f***ing bellend.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So, Kerry, maybe bellend is a bit too strong. You mildly disagree with a few of Matthew's points. Please do tell.
Well, he says that Helen was odious and caused it all herself, but I actually agree with Helen. Yes, that's awful to say, isn't it? But I would have been a bit pissed off at the stained glass windows proposition of just two of the great-grandchildren being represented in St. Stephen's. I don't blame her for kicking off about that and having a bit of a strop and a sulk and it not sitting right with her. However, I do think maybe Peggy's going to go, well, of course, I didn't just mean those two. I'm going to have star f***ing things for all of them. Something like that. I think she might play, you know, like she does this sometimes, doesn't she? She plays a trump card and just goes, no, it will be for all of them, but different ones.
First of all, kudos on a fantastic Peggy, as always. Always tickles my funny bone. But I do see why Helen was irritated. Like, you know, your children are incredibly special to you and you want them to get the best out of life. So to see a cousin being lifted up like that, you know, might be a little bit difficult. But then also, whose family isn't, you know, is consistent or doesn't sort of like, you know, sort of bend with the wind and behave kind of quixotically. I mean, maybe the kind of like the happy middle ground is this. Helen had a point, but being Helen, she completely f***ed it and was massively over the top and sort of like unnecessarily dramatic.
I don't think she was that over the top and dramatic. What you describe to me how she was over the top.
She kind of she kind of left the room. Okay, so that's not over the top. She didn't confront anyone. She just
to call Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Tom heads after her. I'm just trying to remember because I'm having to sort of claw back through the kind of the the Narnia closet of shite that is this week. So to find the Ice Queen that is Helen at the end, and yeah, so. So she's gone outside. Tom has gone after her. Oh, Helen, you seem to be a little bit upset. Well, yes, Tom, I am upset. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't that bad. Maybe it's just, maybe what's happened is me and a few other people, Matthew included, are projecting too much of our intense dislike of that odious family onto her.
I hate Helen. Yeah, I do hate Helen, definitely. But Tom, when she slipped outside, said to her, well, you know, you don't get twins very often. They're really special. Don't spoil it for us, will you?
That was a bit clumsy, though, wasn't it? Saying, twins are a bit special because, you know, I mean.
Of course. And she didn't lose her shit. She just sort she was relatively calm, I think, and then realised and actually ended up persuading him to go ahead with the. You know, it all turned on its head, didn't it? And said, oh, no, don't abandon the church window.
You're right. This is definitely just a boy who cried wolf situation, isn't it? Helen, after decades of being insufferable, has behaved normally or reasonably, and we're all just jumping onto her because it's just kind of a Pavlovian response.
What is up with Peggy? Why does she do this? Why does she chuck these sort of strange things into the family and just sit back and sort of watch them all sort of freak out? Yeah,
like in Clash of the Titans when the gods have those chess pieces and are moving them around, and then back on Earth everyone's,
or when they're looking down onto like a pool of water, you know, like, and they're looking down onto the earth and just sort of watching.
My great grandmother was married to, her husband died, my great grandfather, and he was like the last of a limited pension pool. So he had a perfectly normal job, but the company, when the pension pool was restarted, and so there was just like five or six widows who were peculiarly getting larger and larger amounts as the pension pool wound down. So my great-grandmother, towards the very end of her life, had a ridiculous disposable income and spent a large amount of it on gambling and strange horse racing paraphernalia. She was like a cut-price queen. So behind her, in her room, she had this enormous statue of desert orchid. So she had this huge TV, piss-soaked wing-back chair. I meant piss-soaked is probably a bit unfair. This big wing-back chair and then a massive statue of desert orchid behind her, like one-half-scale desert orchid. So that's what she did with her money and time.
Oh, Peter, that's absolutely extraordinarily fabulous.
She was a wonderful woman. The rumour in the family was she was a white witch. That she can cure your ills.
Yeah. Where's this leading now?
Well, anyway, the point is that, you know, that's what my great-grandmother decided to do with her massive disposable income and time. She spent it all on the GGs and absolute shite. Mm-hmm. Peggy has, you know, either, you know, Peggy, you know, should just keep herself to herself. You know, like spend it on cat collars or, I don't know, or kind of Sforsky crystal donkeys or something. I don't know, anything, but rather than just torturing her family.
I know. And all this sort of like Tony later in the week was like, oh, she doesn't mean anything. Or was it? It could have been Tom. They're the same, really, aren't they? Stupid. You know, she doesn't mean anything by it. She's trying to be nice. She did have a hard life. Oh, it was Tony, because then Pat said, yeah, but, you know, I can almost understand why she was horrible to her own children. But her great-grandchildren, give me a break, you know. Why is she messing with everything? I mean, I think she's going to come good because she's going to cark it soon and they can't let her disappear being a really sort of hated, toxic person, can they?
This is like how the newspapers have to keep on rewriting obituaries. They're kind of constantly having to reframe Peggy in the village just to remind you she's there before inevitably. I mean, no offence to the lovely June Spencer, isn't
it? Of course, yeah.
But, you know, if you're 100, you probably haven't got more than another 5 or 6 years left max. So
yeah, well, my great-grandmother, she lived to 111.
What?
Yeah, in Essex.
Well, good news, Warbis fans.
That was on my dad's side of things. Yeah.
Just a second. So you're, let's not be too indelicate, Kerry. Let's be approximate. There's going to be another half a century of the cider
That's
shed.
Another minimum. 20 years for me. Yeah. No, she was quite remarkable. And I think at some point she was the second oldest person. I don't know if it was on the planet, but maybe in this country anyway. What? And her secret, she said, because I asked, we had a 100th birthday party and she got the telegram and all of that. She got so many bottles of spirits, I have to tell you. And she did say that the secret was a hot toddy at night of some sort of spirit or other. She still had her own allotment when on her 100th birthday. She was still tending her own allotment.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So there you go, everyone. Don't be like me, all boring and sober and on the wagon. Be like Kerry's family. Hot toddy. Hot toddy and digging.
And as I was her great-granddaughter, and she didn't make a bloody star stained glass window for me in some Essex church.
A kind of Christ the Redeemer style-sized statue of Kerry Warbis. Across the which river would it be? Which part of the world was this, Kerry?
Well, Essex. So I'm not sure.
Thames, great big Cockney statue of Kerry Warbis straddling the Thames. Yeah.
I did ask on Twitter how much these stained glass windows are likely to be costing our Peggy.
You're so detail oriented; it's ridiculous.
Well, I'm interested. Like, is it like, you know, 500 quid? Is it 20 grand? You know, I just wanted a bit of a. And someone came back with a really. Knowledgeable sounding answer, because they have links to a church, blah blah blah. Anyway, it was at least 1500 to 2000.
That sounds cheap to me, but you know, not cheap. Sorry, it doesn't sound cheap to me. Not, it's not like I've got 1500 quid knocking around to build Cyrus a stained glass window. But that does sound significantly less than I would have guessed.
Yeah, I didn't ask the size. Maybe that was for one that's like a postage stamp or something.
It's for twins, and twins are very special, so it's partly bright but quite big. So, Kerry, rather pretentiously, while we were warming up for the show, I was wanging on about themes of forgiveness. Felt like this was the theme for the week, and you kind of like gasped, I think half at what a twat I was being and also half at the sort of not instantly sort of agreeing with me. But then I felt like I made quite a good point, didn't I? Sort of,
you so did.
You have Adil and Oliver winning over the village. You have Tracy starting to warm to Oliver. And then you have Tom forgiving Helen, which we have talked about in some detail.
And Linda.
And of course, Linda forgiving Adil. So Linda, you know, Linda has been obviously the vehicle for us all. You know, she's been kind of the the representative of the audience in the village, doubting Adil, can he be trusted, all this sort of stuff. And then there she was today, very Linda-like, claiming all the glory.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't take much, did it? You know, he was on that microphone sounding like Liz trusting that pork markets joke.
Yeah.
You know, if I'd known Scottish dancing was such fun, I'd have come in my kilt. Tilt's head looks weirdly at camera.
Very quick side thing. Absolutely fantastic smashing to pieces by Kay Burley last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Oh, so good. Anyway, thank you, Kay Burley. But in the tiny chance that you're listening, thank you. Linda just... What was it? Just a few smooth words. There was a bit, wasn't there, where he was like, she was like, well, it's easy to say it, isn't it? And he's like, of course, those are just words.
Yes, that was quite well done, I thought. Yeah. Weird that there were questions pitched. You know, Mr. Smithers was interested in the adventure park, apparently.
Yeah.
Oliver was fielding that question. Linda stood up, asked a question. You say you will employ local people, but how can you guarantee that? What a great question, Linda. And then it was loads of corporate crap came back from Ardil then about, you know.
Sorry to reuse an old joke, Kerry, but you're quite the...
Michelle Yarwood.
Yeah.
I really am not. But yeah. Why didn't anyone say who the f*** owns the 60%?
Yes, this was mentioned on Twitter and I thought of you. But I didn't want to poke the bear, so I just left it alone. But the thing is, I now get pleasure from the fact that they are winding you and Matthew up something chronic. Because it's basically, the whole time we've done this show, you and Matthew have managed to find these things. You get you more and more worked up. And it's basically a complete role reversal of our personalities. In real life,
Yes. You
and Matthew are the chilled out ones who just kind of cruise through life, you know, like having fun. And I'm this absolute maniac of stress who's about to kind of like thermonuclear and explode. And then when it comes to the archers, I just couldn't give a anymore.
Yeah, that's very true.
You two are getting more and more wound up. Why when's someone gonna fall down those stairs? Oh my god,
yeah. Are we not
gonna have this?
Oh my god, what does this mean?
It means that you two have a balanced existence and are trying to find some kind of equilibrium.
Yeah, we're sort of nicer in the real world.
Superficially nicer in the real world. Yes, that's absolutely
I'm
right.
Joking, yeah. I'm joking. It was good that Roy picked up, didn't he, that he mentioned about the Caroline Sterling bar that there's going to be. That was a nice nod to and Ardil was like, well, yes, the strong foundations are at the heart of everything we'll be doing. This all just feels like a very quick turnaround. You know, it's only about a month ago that he was evil personified, our Ardil.
There was a few sort of hints at the scale of this thing, wasn't there? There was like, you know, it's the first time I've launched an intergalactic brand in a village hall. Yeah. And then also, we scoured universes to try and find one, you know, like that could accommodate our dreams and hopes. And then it was, you know, wanging on about, you know, the sort of culture of Borsetshire. Again, very specifically, he said Borsetshire, didn't he? It wasn't just Ambridge, it was Borsetshire.
No.
It's tying in the whole county. That's how big this is. So, I mean, it's going to be dominating for a long, long time. I mean, you can see why it is quite a useful plot device.
Yeah, and Tony was reflecting on the meeting, wasn't he, going, the luxury of the place. And I liked Tony's little thing before they went into the meeting. He went, I hope there'll be food. That was quite funny. And the restaurant is going to be amazing. And Linda noticed that it blew her mind there would be no reception area.
Yeah. You imagine it'll be like one of those Amazon shops where you just walk around and it kind of like, you know,
there are AI, no humans.
Yeah. AI scans you. Yeah. As you are whisked up and down the kind of gold plated travelators to the main food hall, you'll be able to see the, you know, Borsetshire locals toiling in the organic fields in the distance.
Yeah. I was just going to think, where will they be working then, these locals?
Yeah.
But he did say that all of the food would be sourced from Grey Gables land and local. What's it? Suppliers or something, didn't they? So are they actually making a, I was going to say vegetable patch, that's not the right word, but you know.
A home garden, a farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it farm to plate sort of stuff?
Yeah.
Do you remember he did the tour of Kirsty's wet swamp area? And, Kerry.
Farm to f. Yeah, them too, isn't it?
they'll get there eventually, but yeah. So although there was rumours he was already touring Kirsty's wet swampy area, wasn't there?
Mm. Yeah, I wonder how that's getting on.
He's been out for the night. But yeah, so he was saying to he was trying to borrow some ideas, wasn't he? What was it, like a pond, like a giant
the wild pond.
That's the one. So you know, it's gonna be a fairly cramped space, isn't it, if it's like, you know, it's turned into a farm. You've then got rewilding projects going on.
Massive pond.
An adventure park.
Yes.
It's a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Who is Mr. Smithers anyway?
If Matthew would definitely have got in 15
Simpsons jokes
by now. So, yeah.
Yeah. Waylon.
Yeah.
We played Simpsons Cluedo the other night. That was
Ooh.
Good. Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was good.
Better?
I like the traditional one, I've got to say. Yeah, you can't beat the Colonel Mustard. And
I played Space Risk once and I felt dirty. It wasn't right.
Space Risk? I didn't know there was such a thing.
You could go to space. That was the, you know, it was just, it was way too complicated. And I threatened to hit a friend. But anyway, let's move on.
What about, speaking of silly old gamey type things, the I thought it was a bit weird that the cross-country course, no one has noticed it's all been done wrong until they went, oh, is this supposed to be the first fence? You're not saying this is the second fence with the tight bend and no one will be able to do that. Have they not looked at it ever until Sunday?
Well, I mean, apparently Justin and a mate can sneak out with a spade and pretty much overnight flip the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever seen an eventing course? I think that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I haven't, apart from on the TV.
I do remember seeing them in the countryside when I was a kid. They're not that impressive. Like, it's not like when you watch the Olympics and they have those kind of, you know, sort of like faux castles and sort of like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There are some big sort of like dips and features, but I mean, maybe things have changed since I was a boy, and maybe I've got a shit memory. But
it did show, like, Shula was the health and safety goddess, wasn't she? Mm. And saying, is the designer properly accredited? And then they did say, have you changed something, Justin? He's like, not to my knowledge. Absolutely bullshittingly lying. And then within the next 5 minutes said, oh, actually, I did change it all.
Sorry to be paranoid, but do you think that's a little dig at the Conservatives? Justin is an avatar for the Conservatives. Just to do that so bare, you know, just to lie so barefacedly, and then when caught, barely even apologise or acknowledge it.
Is Shula Kay Burley?
Who would Shula be? No, this, do you know what? Even in the world of British politics, there's no one shit enough to be Shula. Suella Braverman, she's got a stupid name like
No, but is it Shula? The interviewing lady?
Oh, Kay Burley. No, because I like Kay Burley, and I'd quite happily see anyway, we should, it seems we're talking about Shula, she might be effing off. Lillian was trying to talk at her. Both Alice and Lillian, both ends of the week, have said, you know, you should go off and do this course.
Yeah, will it be Holland? Will it be a tough inner city, northern place? And Alice said, oh, they both sound like you. They don't at all, do they?
No.
Shula in Amsterdam, no, that does not sit well. And in inner city, tough, gritty, northern situation. And they, Alice just like, oh, because you're such a good listener, you're bound to do well. I don't think she is all that. I've said this before, but is it a tease, Peter? Is she going to go?
I don't like it when they do this because it's too...
I know.
Some of these writers, so someone like Kerry Davis, he might understand. He'll have been writing Shula for years, and it seems unlikely that he likes her. I don't know. I don't know the man. I have no idea what he's really like. But it seems implausible to me that you could have extended contact with Shula, whichever side of the writing table you're on, and still have any affection for her.
Yeah.
So it must be one of the new writers who's writing this. And they just don't know the audience. They don't know how much damage Shula has done to us. Years of listening to her kind of mediocre, vanilla, Middle England warbling.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And being a bit of a victim and go, oh, I just don't know what to do. I just can't make any decisions about anything without having a right old panic about it. How are you going to sort out people with real problems?
She's definitely 100% a racist.
Ooh.
Anything new, anything different, she kind of immediately shits the bed, right? Mm. And I just sort of, like, just her, she's never left Ambridge. Has she left Ambridge?
I mean, people will let us know that she's done
I don't care.
X, Y, and Z.
I know what I believe.
Not that I can remember. But that says nothing.
I just feel like she's so sort of like, she's just part of this kind of very sort of homogenous Middle England culture that's got no sort of desire to look outward. And by the way, that's not me. I'm not trying to put down Britain. I'm trying to put down a very specific kind of Daily Mail, Little England perspective that Shula kind of sums up for me. And it's probably all my prejudices, probably all in my head, that I can't imagine her doing. She's definitely the sort of person who will say one thing in the pub and then in the voting booth do something UKIP get a big tick.
And I think there's also something a bit, it does sticks in my craw about her, the do-gooding aspect. Which, this sounds awful, doesn't it? Someone who perhaps wants to actually do good. But that do-gooding persona, it really smacks of the missionaries, you know, going and civilizing people and that sort of thing. Yeah. I just don't think she's got the empathy to put herself in the shoes of the people that she'd be dealing with in the inner city situation at all. She'll be sort of simpering and warbling to them and then running home and getting upset about things and being all straight, like thinking more about herself than them is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, maybe racist is a clumsy way of putting it, but just, yes, yeah, sort of like it's the appearance of doing good rather than actually doing good is what you were getting at and what I'm feeling. I had an inner city situation today. As is traditional, I went to get my lovely wife and son some fish and chips so they could have that while we're recording this. And a homeless guy that I know saw me in the fish and chip shop, banged on the window to ask for some chips. And I gave him a little nod and I turned around to all of the chips and the fish and chip shop guy was going ballistic at him.
The homeless guy.
So I'm now trapped between the homeless guy who I know quite well and the fish and chip shop man who I know quite well. And I've got to say, Kerry, I chickened out. I didn't get him the chips.
Did you say at all to the chip shop man, it's okay, I know the guy, he's just knocking because we know each other?
Yeah, I did try to. But it's what I ended up, tell me if I'm right or wrong here, I can't tell the man who's running his own business how to run his business. And he was absolutely adamant this guy should not come in the shop.
Oh, you didn't want him to come in?
No, they've had previous, because he was saying, you know, you're always coming in the shop and bothering my customers. And
I suppose you could have got him some chips, like, to take out and give him them.
No, because the homeless guy wouldn't go away to give me the space to work some magic. There you go. So anyway, yeah. Maybe I was a bit of a shooler. I shooled out and didn't... What I sort of says, look, Mr. Fish and Chip Shop Man, I know this guy and I will stand, I will vouch for him and I demand an extra portion of chips.
Yeah. Did you give homeless man a bit of cash or something?
I did go home to get some cash for him.
Oh, that's nice.
So I walked home, got some cash and came back out.
Yeah, that's good. I mean,
I do know him. But anyway, before you feel too sorry for Mr. Homeless Man, this is the same guy who asked me for a pack of cigarettes the other day and I bought them for him as well.
God, they're expensive, aren't they? About 15 quid or something.
Yes, they are, Kerry. Because I didn't know how much cigarettes cost anymore. So I went into the shop to do my good, got the cigarettes, and then I chickened out again. Because what I should have said to the person in the shop was, absolutely no way, put them back on the shelf. Thank you very much. Sorry, Sean, that's his name. here's a, you know, chicken Caesar roll. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that is expensive.
Anyway. Life on the mean streets that Sheila will never experience because she'll go to some, you know, I don't know, somewhere else.
Well, she'll stay here because she says things like, oh, the village won't cope without me. She didn't say those words, but she says something like that, doesn't she? Every time it's like, but how will XYZ run without? Oh, it's the bloody horsey place, isn't it? And so all this means is... She's going to go, I think, maybe not for as long as we'd like her to, because she'll have to actually meet someone who hasn't washed or something. And Alice will get the gig, won't she? Definitely.
Then Alice becomes the new Shula.
Yeah, because Lillian sort of went, oh, let me rack my brains to think of some sort of replacement for you. Oh, I can't.
Alice gets offered a job in Plovdiv. And then we have a month and a half of, you know, her being gradually coerced to take the job at the stables.
Yeah, I mean, Alice is going to be in there, isn't she?
Yeah. All right then. Okay, well, let's just hope it goes quickly.
Oh, and another thing, I just want to say, ha ha, Matthew, whilst we're on the subject of Shula, I said it would be her that they asked to do the naming ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
For the little ones.
Okay, for the sake of our listeners, Kerry, have we got Shula out of our system now?
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing more to say.
So listeners, I promise you, I will edit out any further references to Shula. That's it. You're done. You've done very well to get this far. Thank you very much. Kerry, you are, I think a couple of weeks ago, I very bravely stated that there was a scenario where we could talk authoritatively. And yet again, it is your time to shine.
Mm.
Someone wanders into your company's packing shed at half inches, bushels of, what was it, strawberries?
Salad and tomatoes for the quiche. Sweet ones.
How stupid.
Well, clearly she's an idiot, isn't she?
Yeah.
Or she knew she was messing them up and was being a bit naughty. I don't know.
Do you think she's generally an idiot or just specifically an idiot to do with the veg boxes?
I mean, they'd clearly, if they were all packed in boxes, it's clearly silly to tamper with them.
You know, there's going to be a label saying, you know, Warbis 44, you know,
yeah,
Lambshank Street or something, you know, there's, whatever your address is.
Yeah.
I've struggled with the twin plot in general because it's a bit, I don't know, it's just like babies, babies, it's the cliche, isn't it? Babies and pets, they are wonderful when they're yours and they're tedious when they're someone else's. Kids don't do anything interesting.
Right. Oh, well, they did this week. I thought, didn't you hear on Sunday that they were like little mini Darth Vaders?
What did they like have a Foley artist?
It was like
that. It's not a baby. Sorry, you're Michelle Yarwood.
I'm sacked. But they were, didn't you hear, when it was Peggy? But they were really heavily breathing. And then later in the week, they weren't. So I don't know what Peggy's eau de cologne is, but it plays havoc with those babies' tonsils.
So it's basically her formaldehyde. She's preserving herself in this kind of thick liquor, and then the children are choking on the fumes.
Oh, that's just reminded me as well. The Chelsea actress, Madeline.
Yes.
She tweeted me today because I'd mentioned that we had all, or one of you two mentioned that we'd done her growling last week.
Yes.
And she was like, oh my God, I love this. She loved that we had been trying to impersonate her.
Who was best?
She didn't say.
I think we all know.
Did you also, the twin thing, Peter, would you say, I mean, even if it's one newborn, and how old are they? About a week or something, isn't it? Mm. Two weeks at the maximum. Tom sort of said, oh, bedtime was tricky. There is no bedtime, is there, at this stage? It's milk, sleep, milk, sleep, milk, sleep, milk, sleep. There isn't a bedtime at this point in a baby's life.
There are parents, and, you know, people do what they do. I don't want to be judgmental, but they think that you can sleep train babies. And what sleep training means is letting the babies cry out. So if you're comfortable with that, that's fine. If you don't like a baby crying itself to sleep, then no, there is no bedtime. That's it. It's binary. Either you train the baby to accept that no one's going to come and get it at certain times a day, or you always go to your baby when it cries. And that's a binary choice as far as I can see. So to answer your question, as far as I'm concerned, no, there is no bedtime, because if your baby's crying, you go and look after it. You want to go and see what's wrong.
I think especially that young.
Yeah.
You know, you might start thinking about putting them in their cot or whatever, or their little Moses basket, in a month or two.
I'm not saying you just accept it's like, Doug's still shitting himself and he's 23. Well, I just don't believe in enforcing, you know, sometimes, you know, but yeah, you obviously try and train them, but you're not, you know, but like if a kid's crying and one's rocking.
Why is my 20-year-old still wearing a nappy? Yes.
Actually, Kerry, why is your 20-year-old still wearing a nappy?
They are not.
20.
My daughter, lovely Mimi, whose birthday is next week, I took her to WoWo campsite today.
Yes.
And we realised before recording that you've been to this campsite.
We're both WoWites.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's by the way, big plug to WoWo. If you... It's all little muddy brooks. When we first turned up there, these children ran out of the woods. You can hear is squealing kids. it's like a massive kind of maze.
That makes
field.
It sound awful.
But in a nice way, trilling, the trilling laughter of children of having
middle
a fantastic
class children.
Time. Well, yes, very middle class children. And then these kids are running out of the woods, absolutely caked in mud, head to toe, like because they're all just rolling around. And it's a fantastic place. And what's it called? Food vans.
Yeah.
Food vans.
Little did I know that the food vans you'd referred to on your camping trip were the very same ones Mimi is going to be enjoying this evening. She's got the choice of a pizza van. Yes, Adam and Ian are running that. Fish and chips or pie and mash tonight.
Yeah, I've had all three. And the guys who run the pie and mash van are very nice people.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's not in a nappy and Max is out on a date. So I hope he's not in a nappy. That date's not going to go very well.
Mary, whatever floats Max's boat, we have to accept and, you know, and encourage, you know, as long as it's consensual. I've looked down our list of stuff, Kerry, and I think we've done quite well. There's a lot of topics this week. We have one, as far as I can tell, one last burning topic to go, and that is the unifying force that is Ruby the dog.
Yeah, how could we forget? So Denise and Alistair went to the pub, didn't they? And there was scampy talk.
Yeah, I know for most people that probably wouldn't sound that very arousing, but for you must have been kind of like, bloody hell, this is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Trying to appear in a bowl of scampi.
I bloody love scampi.
Yeah, well, I'm with you.
Yeah. But Alistair's starting to open up, isn't he, and sort of properly, you could tell that she knows he likes her.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
This week I have listened, but I haven't been able to ever listen, you know, kind of give it my full attention. So I've maybe missed some of the subtleties. So what's your evidence?
Well, he sort of went, they'd had that tricky time with the dog and everything. They were in the pub and he said, let me buy you dinner. And went, he said something along the lines of, you know, you're the very best. Oh, you were robbed at that competition thing and you are the very best veterinary nurse I've ever worked with. And she was like, oh my.
Then I get scampi. Oh.
And she went, actually, I will have some scampi. Well, he made her blush and he said something like, well, that is what I think. Or that's
Harry,
what
you
I...
just sounded like the worst sex line ever.
Oh, did I?
Well, I will have some scampi. call 0800 323-444.
Would you like some scampi this evening?
Oh, your bread sauce is all over my...
Boy, have I got scampi for you.
Someone out there, Kerry, there's a very niche group of
rubbing
men,
themselves.
All women who are incredibly excited right now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely on. She knows now. She's twigging. It's, you know, moved up a gear. We haven't really talked much about Ruby here, but Justin is an absolute twat and he might have cried a little bit about Ruby, but Ardu had to prompt him to say thank you. He was shitting himself about Lily and finding out that he was upset. Oh, yeah, he's so contemptible.
I, as you know, maybe actually, do you know what? I'm gonna make a strong argument for the fact that I'm a proper manly man. And the reason I'm a proper manly man is because I'm not obsessed with being a manly man.
Yes.
So I am happy to cry. I don't mind admitting I'm wrong. I'll ask for directions. Like, you know what I mean? Like the true values that should more like a person, actually, not a manly man, a personly person. But just like, it's just
that's far more sexy than someone being like Justin.
Justin is the exact opposite of what a man should be, right? He is he is completely driven by ego. He's weak. He's cowardly. But he's a bully. He's also massively fails the Dunning-Kruger test. He's thick as pig shit. Doesn't even realize it.
Yeah.
All of his interests are sort of quite sort of shallow and vain.
Self-serving. Yeah. When he was saying no, I insist you operate now. I'll pay double. I'll pay triple. He really thinks all things are solved by flashing his wad. And I loved how Alistair went, well, no, because it's dangerous and we need the blood transfusion to happen. It's like. And how Ardil is playing with him is very good. I love it.
Yeah, well, I think that the biggest favour that, well, obviously they've obviously done it intentionally, but, you know, like if he was a, the biggest favour that Ardil can do himself if he were a real person is to stand next to Justin, the juxtaposition, anyone that would shine by comparison. And actually Ardil was sort of quite nice, wasn't he, the way that he dealt with all of that. And also quite useful. Like he didn't wait to be asked to sort of make decisions and get involved and sort of get stuck in and keep things moving.
If only he didn't sound like he was reading a Janet and John book, though, to about a bunch of 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
I don't disagree with you because I know what you're talking about, but it doesn't wind me up in the same way as it does you. I quite like him.
Yeah, I'm easily wound up. Mm. Another thing I noticed was, nothing to do with that, Jessica the Falcon Lady sent £30 to her goddaughter. What is it with sending £30?
Joy, £30.
Yeah.
And then who else was it? Adam lost his driving license. There was another one.
No, Kenton lost his. That was a thing, wasn't it? Kenton's driving license. He was posting it because he'd got a speeding ticket, and Jolene didn't know, but only found out because of the burning letterbox.
Mm.
But what is it with the sending 30 notes to kids? Is this a thing that I've missed out?
This inflation's kicking on pretty heavily, then, isn't it? Because it was, you know. I used to have a lovely my Uncle Clive. He still is my lovely Uncle Clive. Mm. I haven't seen him in a long time. He always used to force a fiver into my pocket, and a fiver was a fortune.
Aww.
Absolute fortune. And I used to get so embarrassed I'd run back into the house and hide it in his jacket. Okay, listeners, Kerry has just basically put herself in the line of potential legal action from some of my very near and dear relatives. So I've just had to edit it out. Kerry, would you like to apologise?
Sorry, Uncle Clive.
Yes, well, anyway, let's have an advert and Kerry can kind of try and calm herself down.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Kerry, I've been in touch with my family and they have forgiven you.
Oh, that's nice. Lots of forgiveness this week.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, the theme of forgiveness.
Yeah.
So, Kerry, if people would like to forgive us for another 45 minutes of absolutely barely edited, half-planned nonsense, where
gold.
Would they get in touch? Gold. Thank you. Yeah, gold.
Yeah. At the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter is where I hang out.
Yes.
Please do come and play with me. I would like to take this opportunity to thank two people for their 5-star reviews recently. There was Evie Marie Conn with 2 N's. Beautiful 5-star review. She's quite a young listener. She's 23. And so she's been listening since she was quite young. And has just suddenly found us, poor woman. You guys make me laugh an awful lot and have a really nice outlook on society and class, which makes me contemplate each week about what a show like The Archers truly represents. That's nice, isn't it?
Well, if you'd heard the unedited stuff that Kerry was saying about my Uncle Clive, you wouldn't think we have a nice attitude to anything.
And
the mask slipped, Kerry.
I'm sorry. There is no mask. Charlotte, thank you so much for your 5-star review. She has asked, why don't you have a Patreon?
Well,
she would definitely sign up, apparently.
We have jumped through a series of tiny hoops And taking our goddamn time to do it as well. And we have got a Patreon page that will go up over the next week. And next week, and next episode, we will give you guys the details. And if you're, you know, if you feel like it, please get involved. Be much appreciated.
Yeah.
So, Kerry, while I have managed to find, because this is how bad I am, I go into auto drive at the end. Mm. I'm just like, Kerry, Twitter, and then Matthew. So do you know the Facebook group?
I know that the Instagram is at the Cidershed Pod as well.
Yeah, it is. I just looked it up. Yeah.
But the Facebook is something different. Just put Cidershed in, you'll find it.
You'll find it. I mean, Matthew can come back in a couple of weeks and
On the podcast notes underneath, there are instructions now as to how to do a 5-star review of your very own. So please write some words about us and put 5 stars on those words. That'd be marvellous. Thank you.
Yeah, we keep on getting these peculiar little spikes in listenership. Like one time Matthew went on Five Live to be a Chelsea fan. I don't know if I could be a Chelsea fan in public, but Matthew did it. And we got a massive spike. And then a couple of weeks ago, we got a weird massive spike. Anyway, occasionally we get these huge spikes in listenership. And I think it's just people stepping out of the little sort of bubble of, you know, usual Archers fans. So, you know, if you are in somewhere and in a kind of social media realm which is kind of tangentially and not too awkwardly related, please do give us a little plug, because I think that's actually how we grow.
Yeah, that's true.
Not just being in the echo chamber. So please, as Kerry said, give us a review. But you know, if you're out there and you have a chance to, and you're minded, give us a plug.
You mentioned football there, Peter. Thank you so much to those of you who have joined our fantasy football league.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of you, and I cannot wait to see what happens. My son did my team, I have to tell you, and I've just seen that Arsenal are winning 1-0 at half-time in the first game of the season for the Premier League. So, whoop, whoop. We'll probably lose now, 3-1. But, yeah, thank you very, very much for participating, and we'll give updates next week on how everyone's doing.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Kerry, it's going to be you and me again next week, isn't it?
I'm losing track of who's... Yes, it is us two. That's right.
Matthew might be trying to do a kind of MacGyver and get some equipment together, but more than likely it will be you and me.
So yeah.
So, guys, either take a week off or, or listen to us again. Kerry, thanks for putting up with me, as always.
Oh, don't be daft. I love you.
It's been 2 years of this now, hasn't it? You and me talking shite about the Archers.
Yeah, it has more than. When did we start on that old chestnut?
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was...
I've tried to erase it from my memory.
It was the beginning of the first lockdown. I think we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it was the beginning of the first lockdown. So, yeah, well done us. Hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Thank you very much, and see you all next week.
Yeah, have fun, everyone.